Hello everyone, Neil Patel here, and welcome to another episode of the Indian Startup Show. This week I speak to Suchia Pandya. She is the founder and CEO of Pippa & Bella, an online jewellery e-commerce platform offering fashion jewellery to women across India. So she started it 2 years ago. They're doing really well, growing really fast, and have raised funding as well. So in this conversation, we talk about how she got started, what's it like being a founder, and also really cool information how to raise funding or what to put on your slide deck. Important stuff. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Suchia. Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Okay, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, please.
Sure. So my name is Suchia, and I run a company called Pippa & Bella, which is a online jewelry website for the urban Indian woman who's 20 to 35 years old. Generally, she is an independent woman running her own business, either working or even, a housewife. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, she comes from like a top tier metro in India. And I started this actually because I come from a family of jewelers. And, I always, when I was growing up, jewelry was always something that we decided to wear first. And then we kind of found an apparel or an outfit to match it, mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring that same feeling to women here because, it's difficult to find, a website or one destination in India where you can find everything that you want with respect to jewelry, normally you'll find a lot of fine jewelry websites that do diamond and gold, but nothing that's for the young woman doesn't have that much disposable income but still wants to look really fashionable.
Cool.
So that's really what the inspiration was.
Excellent. Where does the name come from?
Yeah, so Pippa actually comes... Pippa is a Spanish word for someone who's adventurous and bold, and it's a slang term, actually, that's used colloquially in Spain. And Bella is actually Italian for classic and, like, beautiful and something that's more, graceful. So the idea for us was, we wanted to create a brand that caters to both kinds of women. And, most women can probably put themselves somewhere on a range, from being either a Pippa or a Bella. Or maybe even a little bit of both. So, we wanted to have a brand that can really speak to these women and help them express themselves.
Cool. And how's it going so far? Can you share some stats in terms of like orders and how many you're processing?
Yeah, so we started out about 2 years ago, and this financial year, we grew about 400% in terms of annual growth, and we've seen a 15 to 20% increase in numbers in sales every month. So it's been really encouraging. Obviously, it goes to show that women are looking for a place where they can shop for jewelry, and it is a pretty important part of their overall, buying decisions. So it's something that we definitely want to see it grow more, and we want to introduce new categories and do a lot more with it going forward.
Cool. So when you first started, were you surprised how well it's gone now?
Yeah, absolutely. We were actually a little unsure of how women would respond to, just a pure play jewelry website. I think there are a lot of websites where you can get jewelry. Like, there are marketplaces, you can get it on Myntra, on a Flipkart, Amazon. But just a website for jewelry, we weren't sure, are people actually going to be receptive to it? When we actually started doing more research, we found that out of all the categories that women do shop for themselves, mm-hmm. Apparel is at about 35% and fashion jewelry is at about 26%. It's the next category in line. So that goes to show that, and it's actually growing really fast. There are more and more women who are entering the market, and they're actually contributing to this number, in a big way. So I think, that's actually been probably the biggest find for us, that women are actually very receptive to buying stuff online, and they're really open to the idea of it. So.
Excellent. So you're 100% online. I mean, how do you compete with like bricks and mortars, jewelry stores?
Well, so the thing is that the biggest advantage we have actually is that we're able to service over 13,000 PIN codes all over India. So we've had orders from small towns in Jammu and Kashmir, and all the way to, obviously big metros, tier 2 cities as well. So that's the biggest advantage we have with with being online. More importantly, I think now there's so many new things that are happening in the digital space. You know, you can create very personalized experiences, shopping experiences for customers. So someone who's actually come to our website, say 4 months ago and was looking at bracelets, we can actually target them specifically with the new collection of bracelets that's mm-hmm. come out. We can also look at people who say not shopped with us for a while, and introduce them with completely new categories or even lower priced items, depending on how we want to incentivize them to buy. So I think the web world, the digital world, is changing at such a fast pace that I actually think it's probably a big advantage for us to be online. We can acquire customers a lot faster than offline.
Cool. So let's talk about the website then. How would you go about attracting customers to the website? What's your best channel? Is it social media or email marketing? What's working for you at the moment?
Yeah, we use all of them. we obviously have the paid channels that include Facebook ads, Google ads, Instagram ads, and those work up to a certain extent. What I found is that the more and more people begin to, or companies and brands begin to realize, be able to crack the Facebook revenue and Google revenue models, the more expensive it gets to actually advertise on them. So it does put pressure on a company or a brand to find more organic ways of attracting customers and acquiring customers. So that's where I think, really understanding the market and the consumer is important, because you have to know who the key social influencers are and collaborate and partner with them such that they can talk about your brand to their audience and in the best way that they know. And that's actually the best kind of advertising for you. So that's something we've been doing a lot. We recently collaborated with a celebrity makeup artist called Namrata Soni. She is the makeup artist for Sonam Kapoor and Jacqueline Fernandez, Alia Bhatt, like some of the top stars all around India. And what was amazing is that we created this product, which was a jewelry / makeup storage kit that you can take with you when you travel. You can keep it on your makeup stand, etc. And it was amazing because we had Sonam Kapoor and Jacqueline and Alia Bhatt and Anushka Sharma and all these really famous celebrities actually tweet about it, and all thanks to Namrata because of her amazing contacts, right? And so just these kind of things really help. It's all organic. It's all driven by influencers who really who can really drive a lot of traffic to the website. So that's one area we've been exploring. The other area, of course, is email marketing. It's worked brilliantly. It's a very cheap, cost-effective way. SMS marketing is actually surprisingly really good as well. I know it's, to some people it's really annoying to keep receiving SMSs, but there's actually a whole section of people who actually are more active on their phones than they are on emails. So for those guys, they actually would prefer to know about deals via SMS rather than go into their inbox and check it and all of that stuff. So it's, we do these opt-ins on our website where you can either be, opt-in to find out information via SMS or via email, and then we personalize our campaigns accordingly.
Excellent. So do you actually design and manufacture the jewelry yourself then?
We do. We design about 20% of our own jewelry, and we get those manufactured from vendors. The rest of it is all, we rely on the designs of our manufacturers. So the idea is for us that we want to actually, by the end of next year, by the end of next financial year, so that's 16-17, actually get to about 50% of our own designs. We think that's a really important, it'll be a really important benchmark milestone for us, in the years to come.
Cool. And what's it like being a founder of a startup?
Oh, it's excellent. I mean, I think that, to be able to create something and generate value out of it, to be able to drive a vision and communicate that vision to your team, drive it, really get them excited about working with you. It's a very exciting process, and the whole it's almost like a very introspective yet challenging journey thing. Most entrepreneurs will tell you that they'll wake up one day, one moment, you know, thinking that, wow, they're ready. You know, they can actually conquer the world today. And then they'll wake up the next day being like, you know, what the hell did I get myself into? So I think that it's definitely like that, but that's just part of what makes it really exciting, I think.
And what would you say is like the hardest part about building this startup? Is it like recruitment, design, sales? You know, what takes up most of your time?
You know, I think it's really more about people. I think all the other stuff just figures itself out. I would say the hardest thing for a founder and a CEO is just making sure your vision is executed and implemented by the people who work for you. And that can come in many different ways. I mean, it can come through culture. It can come through the different, you know, management structures you may have. It may even come up, you know, may come from, you know, certain personalities, right? But I think ultimately it all depends on how the founder really defines everything within the organization. So I think that's probably where I think the biggest challenge is, or in a way also the biggest opportunity.
Cool. And what will the company look like, say, in 12 months' time?
Yeah, so I think in about a year, we'll still be very much focused on jewelry. We'll be also still a pure online play. I don't think we're looking to go offline anytime soon. But that being said, we're definitely looking at almost a 4 to 5x growth in numbers this year. And you know, we're also hoping to see a couple of quarters of profit. So we're actually hoping to break even this year.
Excellent. So let's talk about fundraising, because I know you've recently raised some funds. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, cool. And how long did it take you to raise these funds?
This was about a year ago. Raising funds a year ago was a lot easier than it is right now. So last year it took me about maybe 2 months. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a difficult environment. It's actually gotten a lot worse right now. So we're in the process of raising a new round moment, and I envision it's going to take about 5 to 6 months. Mm-hmm.
So what do you actually look for in a VC then? Obviously the finance, but is there anything else that you're looking for?
When I'm looking for a VC?
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's not just about the money. I'm definitely looking for someone who can bring a strategic angle to the table. Not very many VCs actually even understand the consumer space. And in fact, of the people who do, fewer understand how to build a brand. So it's, for me, it's more about, I want to go to the guys who, I don't want to go to everyone for sure, and I want to go to the guys who really get it. Mm-hmm. You know, brand takes a lot longer. You know, it's not like a B2B business that can grow, 15, 20x in a year. These kind of businesses take almost 10, 12 years to really establish themselves. So it's a lifestyle business. Sustainable business that you're trying to create. So in those situations, you need VCs who are patient, who understand this about the nature of the business, and are willing to kind of see you through all the different retail cycles that come with the business. So that's what we're looking for.
Excellent. So a lot of startups don't get funded, but you did. Any reasons why, do you think?
Yeah, you know, firstly, I mean, I actually, you know, I also want to preface that by saying I don't think that it's necessary for every startup. I don't think every startup should be funded. You know, I think there's some, if you have an idea and you still think it's a great idea and the VC doesn't believe in it, doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea. You know, I think VCs also have certain restrictions with respect to where they can invest, and also what they understand. I mean, I've had VCs come to me and tell me that, you know, we don't understand women-based businesses. We don't understand brands. And that doesn't mean that it's a bad business. It just means that it's the wrong VC, you know? So, or it's maybe it could even be the wrong type of funding. So I think that, you know, if a startup is not getting funded, there could be a couple of reasons. One is that maybe the addressable market isn't big enough, because VCs generally, when you're looking at a VC type of funding, they want to see a really big market. And if they don't see that, then that's, you know, generally speaking, an out. They also want to see that the founder themselves are really driven. You know, the VC will always make a decision based on the people running the company. It's their only form of the only form of hope for them to actually get an exit is if the founder has skills and the passion to drive the business. So if they feel that the founder doesn't, for a variety of different reasons, then that could be, you know, a point of hesitation as well. And then third, as I mentioned, you know, it could also just be that they don't get it. You know, they don't understand the space. They haven't seen any proof of concept in that area. So they're, you know, hesitant there as well. That being said, there are plenty of other options to raise funds. So I wouldn't get disheartened, you know.
Excellent. I mean, you must have done a lot of pitches. Any advice on our listeners on how to, you know, do a really good pitch?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've made my fair share of mistakes on pitches. And I think that one of the advice, the most recent advice I got actually was just like simplify, simplify, simplify. You know, I think that's the easiest way to make your point. You know, your business should not actually take more than 10 slides to explain. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have too much data on it. You can talk through a lot of the numbers and a lot of the information you want to provide, but it doesn't have to be on the slides. Secondly, if you're talking to investors at a variety of different stages, so, you know, if you had an initial meeting with, say, an associate or an analyst, then you may want to give them a more broad broad idea of the business, and then as the conversation gets more serious, you may need to at that point provide more information and more data. So your pitch also has to keep changing. You have to be flexible with the way you show your growth and your numbers and your strategies. So those, I would say, are the two big advices. And also, I think that if there was one more thing I would add is, you know, just also with your pitch, just you know, make sure you really, your voice should come out, like whoever the founder is, or even the voice of the brand or the company should really come through. You know, you don't want it to just be like a really vanilla, you know, simple deck where you're just talking about, you know, it's just numbers and whatnot. And the VCs don't really get a sense of who's behind all of that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the PowerPoint slides then. I mean, do you actually start off with the sales, or do you start off with a team? You know, what should they have on the slide deck?
Yeah, so anyway, everyone has different ways of thinking about it. I think the first slide should actually be the team, it should be very early on. More than likely that a VC is probably going to make a decision about what they want to invest in your startup, or more importantly, whether they like you or not, based on the first 5-7 minutes they spend with you, you know. And they want to know who you are, you know. They want to know who's behind this amazing vision and this amazing story that you're presenting to them. So if they don't like that, or if they don't get it right away, then it's a failed effort going forward as well. So I would definitely recommend put the team slide early on. And then talk, you know, have a company overview where you're talking about the company, what it does, the business model, the revenues. You know, then you probably want to have a slide or two on the progress that you've made so far. So maybe certain key milestones that you've achieved since you started the company. And then you want to talk about the future, you know. So then you want to go into how you're, you know, planning to scale up. What is the customer acquisition strategy? What is the growth strategy? Are you, you know, how are you looking to use the funds that you're planning to raise? And then I would also, in the appendix or, you know, in the main deck, if it allows for it in terms of time, is have a slide on unit economics, because VCs just love that. They will 100% question you on, you know, what's the bottom line of the company in terms of financials. So you need to have a slides there as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You mentioned market size before. I mean, how big do you want to go with this?
Yeah, so we've our market size is at the moment in India $2-3 billion, we think that, you know, we can capture a good chunk of that because there's actually no player in the market at the moment. This is a fairly fragmented industry, so it's really about whether you can hit the market by by creating that high fashion, high street element, you know, to the consumer and drive it to the consumer. So, yeah, so I think, you know, we're very hopeful about market share in this industry.
Excellent. I just want to ask you some quick fire questions now.
Sure.
Are you a tea or coffee person?
Coffee.
Okay. Are you a morning person or a night person?
A morning person.
Okay. What's the first thing you do after you wake up?
I drink some water and switch on my phone.
What's on your smartphone home screen, the picture?
It's a picture of me and my husband in Cuba.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The good times.
What's your favorite possession?
My favorite possession? Oh, wow. That's a tough one. I think that, you know, I want to say Pippa Bella jewelry, but I have a feeling it's got something more. I think I would say my laptop. I don't know if I could live without it. I think I use it more than I use anything else in the day. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
It has to be my laptop. I know it's not exactly the most exciting response, but.
Cool. So obviously, I know next to nothing about women's jewelry. So, you know, what's hot at the moment? You know, give our listeners some ideas of what to buy.
Everyone's really into choker necklaces these days. I mean, Taylor Swift has created this huge trend recently with choker necklaces, and she's, you know, choker necklaces are basically necklaces that you think they're about to choke you because they're like wrapped close and tightly and snugly around your neck, but it was actually an 80s or 90s trend that's been brought back. So sales have been going through the roof for us on those products. And with respect to other categories, charm bracelets are always a popular one for us as well. So so you can go check out our website. We have a whole new range of choker necklaces on
there. I believe you actually went to Chile as well. Is that correct?
To Chile?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I traveled there. I did a whole summer in South America, 3 months. So Chile, I did Chile, Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina.
Excellent. So traveling, is that one of your like hobbies?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think since I started with Pippa Bella, it's been harder to travel, you know, at least for pleasure. So, I think when before Pippa Bella in my 20s, I did a lot of traveling, and I think it was actually, you know, through the travels that I've been able to get inspired to even start Pippa Bella. You know, so it's been it's one of my biggest passions for sure.
Excellent. Last few questions then. Who would you say your business heroes?
Business heroes. Steve Jobs, for sure, Jack Ma, and closer to home, Ratan Tata.
Excellent. And what advice would you give to startups about growing and marketing their startup?
You know, growing your startup, I would say that focus on an area that is, focus on building a business that's sustainable. You know, I think it's very easy to create businesses that grow really fast, but then sustaining it and making sure that you create something of a lifestyle business out of it is more challenging. So always keep that at the back of your mind that, you know, it's at the end of the day, business fundamentals matter way more than all the frills, you know. So that's what I would say about, at least on the startup side. On the growth side, I would say that on the acquiring customers, I would say that don't rely too much on, you know, the paid side of things. Look at organic for sure, you know, and do it early on. It's very easy it's much easier actually to try and scale up initially organically rather than through the paid channel because, you know, building a brand through virality and through word of mouth is just so much easier than having to pay for it. And it's actually more honest, and you actually get a better quality customer as well. So,
Does anything sort of frustrate you at the moment about the business?
One thing that really frustrates me, I think that, you know, it's, I would say more that it's one of the big challenges that we face in the digital world is that you're not necessarily able to give the customer the best shopping experience that you can, you know. I think that's largely because of the fact that there's a screen that's dividing you and the customer. So you're always in the most, you know, in the most innovative ways trying to find out more about who's this person behind the screen that's shopping for your products. And then you want to try and give them the best experience that you can. However, that's always, you know, that's not always very easy. So I would say it's definitely a challenge for all of us in this space. And, you know, even though there's really awesome new products coming out that are helping us achieve that, it's, you know, it's something that there's still a lot of innovation that needs to be done to make that process a bit more seamless.
Mm-hmm. Actually, are your family are jewelers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I come from a family of fine jewelers. So I spent almost like 5-6 years before I went to business school in the fine jewelry space. Yeah.
So do your parents, they help you, or do they just let you get on with it?
No, I think that, you know, I mean, they don't understand the space. So they're actually, firstly, not only are they in the fine jewelry space, but they're also manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So they're actually on the completely like opposite side of the value chain. You know, they're more into operations. They do B2B, and they don't really even get the consumer side of things. So while of course they're very supportive and extremely, you know, extremely patient with like all of my complaining and bickering at times, they don't really understand the space as well. So you know, we're still learning a lot from our side too.
Right. So last question then, for people who want more information on Pippa and Bella and yourself, what must they do?
Yeah, so I mean, just, you know, go on to pippabella.com and and, you know, please just, you know, you can go through the website, you can give us feedback on it as well. You can visit our blog to see, you know, what the latest trends are. And yeah, and if you like something you like, then yeah, by all means, please go ahead and buy it. And and then you can actually hashtag Pippabella when you post an image on Instagram, and your image will automatically appear on our website. So that can be your claim to fame as well.
Brilliant. That sounds cool. Suchi, thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I had a great time. So thank you very much.
Excellent. I wish you all the best. Thank you now. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for Suchi for coming on the show, and if you want to check out some of the jewelry, go to www.pippabella.com. If you have any feedback on the show, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet @IndianStartupSH, or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. We'd love to connect. Speak next week.